his gates with thanksgiving. There we are, enter his gates with thanksgiving. I wonder what your gate is. What's a gate? Someone said to me this last week, my gateway to God. I said, well, what is it? He said, well, it's far too pious for me, really. He said, it's God's holiness. I said, well, that's absolutely wonderful. And then I thought, what is my gateway through to God? What brings you closer to God? What is it? It may be something like a bit of music, and that just brings you closer to God. It may be a poem. I love poetry, and I share poems with someone in this church here on emails, and a particular poet we love. And funnily enough, that actually brings me a bit closer to God. So it may be walking. Someone said to me, well, walking brings me closer to God. And I said, well, why do you want help to get closer? She said, well, I still need to get closer. I said, well, walk a bit slower. And then you can look around, see someone's face, listen, and breathe deeper. And actually she rang up a couple of weeks later and said, you know, that's absolutely changed the way I get close to God. That's my gateway. Any other gateways that you may have? Friendship is a wonderful gateway, isn't it? Just another friend. Another one, my daughter rang up this week, and I said, you know, how are you? She said, oh, she's struggling, 2 kids under 2.5. It's not easy, is it? Some of you mums will know. I said to her, Debs, I said, what's a way into you? She said, Dad, last night I soaked myself in a hot bath. It was wonderful. I lit candles, and I let all the froth come up. And she said, that was my life giver. What's a life giver for you? I won't ask you all to say what it was. But here you see the psalmist, his life giver actually is coming into the presence of God, is coming to worship, to come through these gates this morning, these doors, to, as it says in our little leaflet for our community groups and our preaching, to encounter God in worship and prayer. Isn't it wonderful? We've come to encounter God this morning. It's lovely to be with each other. Lovely. We have so much here that's just leading us. But it's to encounter God. That's the heart of it. And you see, the person who's writing this psalm, let's just see, what is it? What is it? Any words here that is showing that he really wants to encounter God? Anybody, say a word that strikes you here. This person is really wanting to give thanks to God. Oh, I've given you one of the words, actually. Anybody, just give a word. Know that I am God. Wow. Know, not just know in the head. It's about heart knowledge. It's head and heart, actually, both together. Know that I am God. Yes. Any others there? Shout for joy. We've been doing it a bit this morning with our lovely music group. Shout for joy. Worship the Lord with what? Gladness and with joyful songs. Can you just go up a bit? We are his people. Enter his gates with thanksgiving, his courts with praise. That's wonderful. But there are two particular things. We'll just go back to the third verse, if we may. Know that the Lord is God. There are three things here that God actually has done for us. What's the first one? He made us. And the old translation, which I've always sung when I've sung this, he made us and not we ourselves. Isn't that wonderful? He's actually my creator. I have not created myself. He's my creator. Everything I have is his. I've got a wonderful little, I've got a hazelnut, actually. It's somewhere lost in my pocket, if I can find it. And it's anyone heard of Julian of Norwich? And have you? Isn't that wonderful? She's an amazing 13th, 14th century, 600 years old, and she's come alive in the last 75 years or so. And Julian of Norwich, she looked at a little hazelnut, and she said this about it. In this little thing, I saw three truths. The first is that God made it. The second is that God loves it. And the third is that God sustains it. Isn't that wonderful? God made it. He loves it. He sustains it. And if he does that to a hazelnut, what does he do to you and me? He is our creator. He made us and not we ourselves. That is an amazing thing. Let's go on to the second thing, that what God is. We are his people. He has rescued us. He rescued his people from Egypt. Now he rescues us through the cross and through his death. We're here today because we're a rescued people. He rescues us, the second thing. And the third thing that God has done, we are his people, the sheep of his pasture. He sustains us, like this little hazelnut. God keeps this sustained. He loves it. He made it. He sustains it. He sustains us. He gives us the breath of life. I prayed for someone just now, our dear friend in this church, struggling with breathing. And we just prayed God's strength. Prayed God to be the nourisher of his life. Anointed him with oil. He nourishes us. What is God? He's our creator. He's the one who nourishes us, who nourishes us. And now we come on to who is God? Just the last verse. Who is the Lord? The Lord is good. Isn't that marvelous? The Lord is good. Someone sat at our breakfast table recently with their marriage destroyed and out of work. And this person just kept on saying, God is good, God is good, God is good. I was, you know, that's another dimension in faith for me, really. But God is good. What do you want to go out of this church this morning to be saying, Lord, you're good, you're good, you're good. The Lord is good. His love endures forever. This is a wonderful word. If you want a Hebrew word, it's chesed, chesed. It's the best word in the Bible, C-H-E-S-E-D, chesed. And it means God's faithful love. It has so many meanings. I've just jotted a few of them down when I looked it up. It's his kindness, his loving kindness, his redemption, his abundance, his everlastingness, his greatness in the heavens, his greatness without any ending. This is God's love, his mercy. Always there for us, praise God. And the third thing is his faithfulness continues throughout all generations. Be filled with gratitude, even now, Lord, as we're going to be silent for a moment, that you are the God who is the one for whom we are so full of gratitude, for who you are, for what you've done for us. Lord, you give us so much, says a great writer. Give us one thing more, a heart of gratitude. Just spend a moment. What do you want to thank God in this church for this morning? What in your own personal life do you say, Lord, thank you? Something big, something small, could be a hazelnut, whatever it is. God's there, loving, creating, sustaining. Thank you, Lord. Amen.
Thinking about worship, and worship is far more than just singing, but we are going to sing as part of our worship now, and just as that chance and that space to just perhaps...
We are on sacred ground, aren't we, when we dare to utter those amazing words of the prayer of Jesus. Maybe the gateway is the holiness of God, which we've been singing about. So Lord, come to us now. May we know that you are God. Know it in our minds, know in our hearts. Draw us to your heart of love. Open our eyes to see, our ears to hear, our wills to be drawn into your heart and into your such needy world. In the name of Christ our God. Amen. Amen. I brought actually along with me, and then we've got it, Dave has managed to find this wonderful picture. I'm sure you all know it. I know we've used it here before. It's Rembrandt's wonderful picture, just painted a year before he died, having lost his wife, another woman very close to him, both died, three children, his only son, and he was bankrupt and without anything. And just a year before he died, he painted this picture of the prodigal. What I love here is there's so much, but I just love the head in the heart of the Father. Know that the Lord is God. Head and heart in the heart of the Father. And you see, I think there are so many things that are around us that we lose that focus. The heart of the Father. Me in his heart. We're so busy, so many things crowding upon us. Bruce Almighty showed it, I think. There's so many things, aren't there? And that's why it's wonderful to come to church, isn't it? Because we just begin to let ourselves be drawn into a bigger life and a bigger heart. I was a great admirer of Leicester City last year. I'm not a great football fan, and, you know, what a year it was. Now they're actually almost fighting relegation. And so, you know, what has gone wrong? And Eddie Jones, because I love rugby, now next Saturday against France, the first of the Six Nations, late afternoon, so you can let go of a lot of things and watch if you want to. Eddie Jones has been studying Leicester City and what has made them lose their focus. What's gone wrong? And he's hoping that English rugby won't suffer the same. But things do go wrong, don't they? They go wrong in the world of the church and the way we lose our way and we get so involved with our own internal problems. It's wonderful with Dave and Alice here who are really helping us to look out and to be aware of the mission field around us. Mark Carney, who is the governor of the Bank of England, he's a Canadian. I have a Canadian son-in-law, so I always feel a bit proud that we've got Mark Carney over here. But he talked to church leaders the other day, and he said, actually, the church has got a real part to play. Don't lose your focus in the church and get so inward-looking. He said, actually, the church is able to point to the other, to God. What a thing we do to point people to the other. He said the church is a bridge through to the world. Wonderful, we have the bridge, all that Neil and Sue and Di and so many here, Barry and others, all work at the bridge and that team. It's a bridge, and the bridges are wonderful. We are a bridge to the world. Don't lose the focus of you at work, a bridge. You in the family, you're a bridge. You in whatever you do in daily life, a bridge. And then Mark Carney said, and the church, thirdly, is a moral compass. He said, whatever you may see wrong in the church, it's actually you, for many, are a moral compass. I thought that was wonderful for our church leaders to be able to hear that kind of message from the governor of the Bank of England. Let's lose our way. And what I love about these words which we have in Luke chapter 11 is the way that The Lord is there with his disciples, but he says, actually, if you really want to learn about prayer, you've got to do two things. Or they realized they had to. They had to watch him praying. Just one of them, one of the 12, representative really of all of them. He watched Jesus and they waited till he stopped praying. And then this one, I wonder if it was Andrew, because Andrew was a disciple of John the Baptist, because in John chapter 1 he leaves John the Baptist to follow Jesus. Lord, John taught us how to pray. Could you teach us how to pray? And they've been watching Jesus. And you see, as we look at the Lord's Prayer, we're watching Jesus. This is his prayer. You look at the Lord's Prayer, it's Jesus. How does Jesus pray? Look at the Lord's Prayer. Watch him. But then he says another thing. He says, teach us how to pray. Teach us. In other words, we have to be able to learn. Teach us how to pray. And you may say, well, I find that a very difficult prayer. I think many of us do. I remember somebody saying, it's not do I want to pray, do I want to pray? And I guess that's a lot of us. It's difficult to say, Lord, I want to pray, although the fact we're in church this morning means we probably are somewhere near that. But I want to pray. And you're halfway there when you want. And I think these disciples were saying, Lord, we want to be taught how to pray. And I want to take really the Lord's Prayer in a way that I'm hoping that we can understand. And I'm going to make it very simple, and yet I hope it's also quite deep as well, that we start with the source, with Abba, Father, and then the daily life with bread and with forgiveness and the cross. And then we face this week and we're going forward into things that we're going to, some of us struggle with or dread or don't know how to face. And the Lord in this sacred prayer takes us into the coming week, into the future. So let's start with the source. Abba, Father, the source of life. Actually, God talks about himself. In Jeremiah chapter 2, he says, actually, I am, you've forsaken me, the fountain of living waters. And I just love that as an image of the fount of living waters. And that reminds me of something, because I think many people are searching for this. And you know people, and perhaps you're in church this morning, you're searching. And that fount of living waters, that heart of God, that heart of the Father, and you're saying, I want something of that. I don't normally go to Waitrose, because I go locally, and Waitrose is a bit expensive, but they do have very good cheap deals. And just before Christmas, it's just only a month ago, I went to Waitrose. This has so stayed with me, I share it. And Dave is always saying, share stories, and that's so good you do. And I was walking, and you know there are people there who are sort of playing music, and they're pretty unshaven and homeless and everything else. And I hurried past. I had my deal to get in Waitrose. And blow me, the fellow was still there when I came back. Didn't want this at all. It's awful, isn't it? We're getting closed. This was me enclosed. So I got my purse out, put a coin in. He looked up at me. He said, I know you. I said, really? I'll call him Richard. That's not his real name. I'll call him Richard. He said, you know, you and I talked at the back of the Priory Church about 10 years ago. I said, yes, I remember that. He said, you had your Bible with you and you showed me some verses. I said, yes, I remember that. And he said, I'm not a Christian, you know, but he said, I'm doing what I enjoy. I love playing my flute and I'm getting some money for it. And I said, well, that's great. He said, I'll tell you what. He said, I've got some music to some psalms. The first one was Psalm 42, as a deer pants for water, so my soul pants for you, O God. And he started playing it on his flute. He said, I'm putting this to my own music. And then he said, and there's another one, Psalm 36. And he said, I'll play that. And he began to play it. And I had my little testament with me, and I got it out because I wasn't quite sure about Psalm 36, which has these words, with you is the fountain of life. In your light we see light. And I said, Richard, it's amazing. You're playing your flute outside Waitrose, all these people going by, and you say you don't believe in God. I said, you're doing something quite amazing. Thirsting for God, that fount of living waters. You, Lord, the fount of living waters. You, Lord, as my Abba. You know, Abba was a central word for Jesus. Sorry, I'm getting a bit dry in my mouth, so if you'll just excuse me. Abba was the central word for Jesus. Any young Jewish child, before they go to bed, they read, they recite Psalm 31, verse 5. Into your hands I commit my spirit. You've redeemed me, Lord God of truth. Jesus would have said those words, which he uttered again on the cross, but added the word Father. Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. It was deep in him, this Abba. Age 12, must I not be about my Father's business? Amazing, isn't it? My Father's business, the Abba's business. Age 12, mid-ministry, he's just praising the Lord of heaven and earth. I thank you, Father, Lord, Father, Abba, Lord of heaven and earth. When do you pray when you're in the abyss, when you're really struggling? What do you pray in the middle of the night? I found myself last night just praying out for something. Abba, Abba. Lord, Lord, help. It's the best prayer there is. Lord, help. And Jesus in Gethsemane, and it actually says the name Abba in the original. Abba. It was so precious, that word, Abba, Father. On the cross, the first word on the cross, Abba, Father, forgive them. The last word, Abba, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. Abba was the life of Jesus. It's the most wonderful word to have. If I just share my own testimony, 40 years ago, 1977, Diana and I were in Iran, mission partners. I was chaplain to the Iranian bishop. The revolution came, and we were being swept up into it. And my prayer life just disintegrated. And my sister, a lovely Christian girl, lady, and she gave me one or two tapes which were on contemplation, coming still in prayer. And I listened to these, and I began to get another form of prayer, which was just actually to stop with all my words and to sink into the Abba love of the Father. And I was given the word Abba. Once I wanted to change it, and my spiritual director said, why change a name which is so close to the heart of Jesus? So I've kept it. I was there this morning, first thing when I get up, light a candle, 20 minutes, Abba. Not easy, a struggle. Oh, I've got a sermon to preach. Oh, you know, all the worries that come to you, but you just turn up. That's what prayer is, sometimes nothing else. You turn up and you're willing to be with God. You turn up in church. You're willing to be with God. You don't have to know that things are happening. God is working, and it's a wonderful thing. And in the revolution, that became my sacred word. And my bishop, the Iranian bishop, Bishop Hassan, he lost everything in the diocese. The revolution took almost everything. They tried to kill him. He escaped. They murdered his only son. They murdered the eldest priest of our six Iranian priests. The others all went underground. They took everything belonging to the church. They just left the church buildings. And the bishop, when he wrote a book about it, he said, what held me in this revolution when I lost almost everything was the fact that I could get a stillness in prayer and be still with God. Isn't that wonderful? So I just challenge you, really. That may not be your word. You may get another word. In the early church, in Romans, it's chapter 8, verse somewhere 14 or 15, it says, when we pray, say, Abba, Father. It's the Spirit praying in our hearts. Abba, Father. Or in Galatians 4, Dave's taking notes. It's lovely when people take notes. Galatians 4, it's round about 5 or 6, but when you cry, Abba, Father, it's the Spirit crying that we're children of God. Abba, Father. I just ask us, Lord, that you'll draw us into this kind of stiller prayer in the midst of all the rush and hurry around us. Even to have those 2 minutes, I think in our little pamphlet on prayer for this week, the Rhythms of Grace, it says, pray the Lord's Prayer every day this week, follow it with 2 minutes silence. And I want, Lord, to have the courage to do that, to pray your prayer, enter the gateway of holiness through it, and to be silent with those words, Abba, Father. Abba, Father, thank you. And what you find, actually, after time, is that the word, you don't even say it. It comes from the depths of the heart, and it just rises up within you. In our last parish, and I'll just then go on from this, one man, Walter, he said, I just spend weeks with that first phrase, the Lord's Prayer. I don't want to go any further. Our Father, Father in heaven, Father. Wonderful. So that's the source. Then we come to the next two things. Am I all right for time, Dave? Is it lovely to have Dave, who's not watching, keeping his watching with his watch? A loaf of bread and a cross. Because it's so involved with our daily life. Give us this day our daily bread. It can also mean, if you look down in the margin of your Bible, give us tomorrow's bread for today. Because the Lord knows that we get anxious about tomorrow. Give us tomorrow's bread for today. And it's the word give, isn't it? It's the word meaning this is gift. Do you give thanks for what you eat? I saw someone the other day in a restaurant, just before they ate, he just did this. I thought, wasn't that wonderful? Just giving thanks. Just to say thank you, Lord. This is a gift. And as we pray it actually with the hungry world. It's not even for them, it's with them. Give us, Lord, us with them. We're joined with them, their hunger, what I have with their hunger. We're joined together. Give us our daily bread. And you know, this is something very earthly. It's very down to earth, but it's also very spiritual, because at the end of the passage that Alan read so movingly for us, remember the Lord says about the person who goes at midnight and says, you know, give me a loaf of bread and all of that. And then the Lord goes on to say that if your child, supposing your child asks for an egg, look at that lovely egg, would you give him a snake? I almost rang up Di or Sue and say, bring a snake from the bridge. Then I thought we might be a bit terrified. Of course you wouldn't. If he asks for a fish, here's my breakfast for tomorrow morning, it's lovely kipper. If he asks for a fish, would you give a snake or scorpion? Of course you wouldn't. If you, being evil, are so generous. I love the Lord. He's so generous to us. Okay, you're evil, but look, you're so generous. How much more will the Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? And so you see, in a sense, bread and the Holy Spirit, it's not one is spiritual, one's material. They're all part of the same thing. They all belong. The Holy Spirit, the bread I eat. But you've got to receive the bread as gift, and the Spirit to ask. Maybe that's part of our deepening tonight. I don't know the service, but just to be open to God's Holy Spirit to come and to be filled with that Spirit. The other hand is the cross. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins Lord, you've forgiven me on the cross. This is an amazing thing that you've done this. And help me to release forgiveness. I came down this morning in the car thinking of this, and I thought of somebody close to me who needs my forgiveness, quite close in a sibling family, and I just prayed, Lord, forgive. About 3 weeks ago, up at All Saints, I was taking the communion, and I noticed at the back somebody who was there, and I knew that the week before I'd avoided meeting him, and the week before that I'd said something quite abrupt to him, and it wasn't really a good thing at all. And I thought, I can't take communion until I've talked with him. And I went over before the service. I just took his hand. I said, I'm so sorry. I'm quite moved, actually. And he said to me, and I'm sorry the way I came back to you. It's an amazing thing, isn't it, to release forgiveness to somebody. You may go out of this church this morning, release forgiveness to somebody. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. And so from the fount of living water, the Abba, the daily bread, the forgiveness, and then finally we're looking out into the week. Lead us not into temptation. It actually means probably originally, don't lead us to the time of trial. In other words, Lord, we can take so much, but I can't take more. I think it's due with daily life, when we sometimes say, I can't cope. I need, Lord, I can go so far, but I can't. And I find that in relationships sometimes. I say, Lord, I can't give any more. And I don't even feel I can give more. And that's a relief sometimes to know you can't. So you just have to let a person go into the arms of God, into the cross. But you see, it's something, as we look forward, and we say, Lord, don't let me go through anything this week that I can't manage. And St. Paul, it's a wonderful verse in 1 Corinthians 10, verse 13. He says, God will not allow you to go through more than you're able to endure. He will not, what was it? He will not tempt you beyond what you're able, the old translation. And then he says, but God is faithful. Remember Psalm 100? God is faithful. God is true. He will not allow you to be tested beyond what you're able to bear. Isn't that wonderful? You will face nothing this week that you can't face because God won't allow you to go beyond it. So take heart. And that's a most wonderful thing. And although it's not in Luke's gospel, it's St. Matthew. Deliver us from evil. We've been singing about being delivered and rescued. Lord, just deliver. When I say deliver, I can't do anything. It's the Lord. All I do is just put my head in the heart of Abba. And I say, Lord, I can't, but you can. Deliver me from evil. For yours is the kingdom, the power and the glory. Forever and ever. Amen. Let's just have a moment as we... Lord, these are such sacred words. I wonder if you can just take one phrase from what we've been sharing. Just take one phrase that's touched you and hold it in your heart. And let that dwell. Let the word of God dwell richly in you. Let it dwell richly. And you hold it there and you say, Lord, this is going to be my strength and my nourishment this week. And you will not let me go through more or in my life more than I can cope with. Just wonder whether, Dave, we can just say these words again. Could we say the words up on the screen, beginning with Father? Let's just say these words. Father, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins. For we also forgive everyone who sins against us. And lead us not into temptation. But, well, that is it. That's it. But we also say, Lord, because the other version is, deliver us from evil. And then can we say together, for yours is the kingdom. Let's say that together. For yours is the kingdom, the power and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Amen. Thanks, Dave, so much.
Let's stay seated now and carry on